Welcome to the Grace Hour, friends. Great to have you with us on this Thursday morning edition of our broadcast. Now, the Grace Hour is that daily broadcast that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges and helps him or her learn more about their faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Jason Moore, and we will be discussing our theme this week on the Grace Hour, salvation, and in particular, the sanctification aspect of our salvation. Yeah, this is a great subject, a great theme, because again, I think all believers understand what salvation means. It means you're born again, born of the Spirit. But that's just the beginning. There's a whole life that God has in store for the believer once they trust Christ in a personal way. And we'll be talking about what sanctification means and the different aspects of sanctification, because there are several of them, such as, well, positional sanctification, and then practical sanctification, and then the perfection of one's sanctification. So again, there's a lot to talk about in this subject, because this is where it gets a little confusing for a lot of believers. Okay, now that I belong to God, now that I'm born again of the Spirit, now that I have this new heart, this new life, this new way of living, how then should I live? And that's what sanctification is all about. We'll be talking about that subject and helping to develop it together with you, our listening audience. And we appreciate you tuning in to the broadcast today. We want to remind you to definitely subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And again, make sure that you tune in for the next live Grace Hour broadcast that's coming up tomorrow at the same time. And don't forget, you can join us, friends. That's right, the phone lines will remain open during the broadcast. Any time that you would like to contribute by way of a comment, question, a testimony, pick up that phone, dial one of these numbers. We'd be happy to have you join us. We would ask that you would, again, stay on topic. Again, our theme today, the sanctification of the believer. And we would ask that your comments and questions, again, would fit into that specific theme and subject matter. Here are the numbers, toll-free in all of North America, 800-338-7060. Once again, it's an 800 number, toll-free number, 800-338-7060. The local number here in the Baltimore area for all of you listening locally is 410-483-3700. And here, live in the studio to get things started today, Pastor Jason Moore. Welcome.
Thanks, Pastor Love. I'm looking forward to this conversation with you. I love how you opened it with how there's positional sanctification and then practical sanctification. I've been meditating more on the practical side of it, because so many people can think that it's earning or trying to merit what God has done. But really, it's being conformed to His image, isn't it? It's again, looking like Christ in our daily life and being really a billboard for the unbeliever to see something different in the world. So,
yeah, I mean, this is such an important theme, because so many believers, they grapple with this whole idea, because sometimes I think we look at salvation and we say, clearly, in its totality, that's the work of God for me. But then the shift happens when they think, okay, now sanctification. And that's where we sometimes we miss the mark, because we start to believe that now that's my responsibility. Mm. I have to do the sanctifying. But is that really the case? I mean, do we have any power? Now, some would say, yes, you have a new nature. You're born of God. The seed of God abides in you. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the promises of God. Of course, it's your responsibility. But what exactly is our responsibility in this sanctification process?
Yeah, I mean, the word I was thinking about this morning was to yield. I think yielding is, again, so valuable, because our will, you know, if God was to wrestle with anything, it's our will, because He wants us to follow Him based on love. So, okay, so positionally, we are perfect in Christ. That is something that we've been justified and made righteous because of the work of the cross. But with progressive sanctification, we see that it's a decision to choose life. It's a decision to yield to the promises of God. It's the decision to say yes to God and no to self. So I think of this popular verse, Philippians 2:12, right? To work out your own salvation. And again, it's really yielding to God. It's really submitting to God, saying, Lord, I'm not going to live in willpower, but I'm just going to simply yield and agree with what you say and say that is going to be, I'm going to yield to your ministry to me, and then there'll be a ministry to others. Because I think willpower can be exhausting. So someone might say, I'm not going to do anything, right? I'm not going to do anything. But if we were to use an analogy like a boat on the water, like they raise their sails to capture the wind, and the wind is what moves the boat. You're not seeing someone on a sailboat with oars trying to make it happen, right? You're capturing something much greater that'll move the boat. And I think maybe that's a good illustration for our Christian life. We're raising our sails, we're yielding and saying, yes, Lord, you are true. And then God is moving us in his ministry, in his life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, it's kind of like the definition of willpower, because I think a lot of people get stuck on that, you know. But it really comes down to my will yields to God's power. And that word yield, that's the perfect word. It's used so much in Romans, the 6th chapter, when Paul addresses the importance of each one of us yielding our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. But there's three words, I think, that really kind of crystallize the responsibility of the believer in this sanctification process. One of them is yield, which you mentioned. The other one is let. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And then the third one in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, is present. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Those three words, critically important, and they really do kind of sum up the whole process of our responsibility, because as you said, that illustration of the boat, the sailboat, beautiful. Don't put up those sails, and you might be just sitting in the water, but put them up and let the power of the wind take you where you want to go. Beautiful.
Yeah, I think of something Pastor Brian Lange said. It's like, it's Christmas. When you get saved, it's a work done forever in Ecclesiastes 3:11. It's something that's permanent. It's something that can never be taken from us in John 10:28-29 and Acts 4:12 and Ephesians 1:13. I mean, these are verses that we need to know and be convinced of, because the devil loves to yank the Christian around thinking that somehow that we are the ones of the keepers of salvation. But in Jonah 2:9, salvation is of the Lord. It's all God's idea and work of God. But think of it this way. It's like in our Christian life, it's like Christmas. We get saved. We get all these Christmas gifts, right? Like Christmas morning, there you are. I love watching my son on Christmas morning. But by illustration, it takes your whole life to open all those gifts. And I think that's progressive sanctification. It's like God does these 27 positional things or 27 experiential things and 66 of the foundational things when we get saved. 95 things happen to you at the moment of salvation. So we get all these gifts, and we spend our whole life opening these gifts and experiencing God. Because here's the bottom line, Pastor Love. How many times have we heard this, and maybe we've said it ourselves, people have the knowledge, but they don't experience the life of what they know. And I think maybe sanctification is that process where we are just yielding, learning, letting, presenting.
Yeah.
I love those words.
And as you said, it's practical sanctification, but another word or another term that's used to describe it is progressive sanctification, because it is an ongoing process. It's not something like positional sanctification is you are saved, set apart, and seen as holy by God. Whereas progressive sanctification is, you mentioned it, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now you're working out what God has put within you. Hmm. And it takes time and experience. And here's an interesting thought. And we're going to have to kind of delve into this and really develop it. Every believer is not necessarily a disciple. And now here's where it gets interesting. And every disciple is not necessarily a believer. Now, let me read to you from John's Gospel, the sixth chapter. Jesus is speaking, and he's talking about eating my flesh, drinking my blood, and when you do that, I will dwell in you, you in me. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now, these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, now notice that, they were his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Who can hear it? Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And then listen to verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. Wait a minute. It says he was talking to disciples. But then he said, some of you don't believe. I mean, you know, what's going on here? It reminds me, you can be a believer and you can say, I'm saved. I've got my ticket to go to heaven. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in being a disciple. I'm not interested in following after Jesus. I'm not interested in losing my life. I'm not interested in serving other people. And you can be saved, but there will be no experience of this progressive sanctification. Then you could be a disciple, but not even, in other words, some people will come into a local assembly and see the devotion that people have, the enthusiasm people have, the energy that people have, and say, I like these people. I'd like to be a part of what's happening here, but never believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And then something will come along that ultimately will offend them and cause them to go away. No doubt, because they never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is kind of fascinating when you stop and think about it.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
I mean, and again, it God will expose the motives. God will expose the heart. But people seek communities. People seek friendship. I mean, you look at Christianity today. The mantra of community, friendship, relationship. But where is the core? What you're saying is being conformed to the image of Christ. It's learning Christ. It's a Christ-centered religion. Otherwise, if it's man-centered, if I'm looking for something to stimulate or coddle my flesh, that may happen in some churches where the Bible is not the center or where the Spirit is not really moving. But to think that Jesus addressed the capacity and the core of the crowd, I mean, you know, just thinking, you know, people have their fire insurance, you know. Because you talk to them, you're like, oh yeah, I received Christ. And then they won't talk to you about their faith. I'm always amazed at that. Like, oh, that's a personal issue. Or I don't talk religion. Well, I don't talk religion either, you know. It's like, let's talk about Jesus. It's a real thing, because when we get to heaven, what we did for Christ because of Christ, because of grace. And one of the great verses of progressive sanctification, I think, is 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the knowledge. Well, actually, let's just read it, of the grace of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and grow in grace in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't want to paraphrase that, but this is the verse. This is why we have such a huge emphasis on grace, because it's grace plus nothing equals everything. It's Christ. Because if we have this form, we deny the power of, because it's all man-centered, will-centered, naturally centered. But here it is. Here's the greatest verse, I think, for progressive sanctification. But grow. And that's not in the suggestive tense. That's dogmatic. It's the affirmative. Do nothing else but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Christian life. That's right?
Absolutely.
That's the Christian life.
Yep. I mean, this whole business. And of course, think about it. Let's liken it to a marriage. A couple doesn't go to the altar and get married just for the wedding day, right? I mean, as sure. glorious as that day is, because we understand you cannot have that marriage relationship without the wedding day. You can't have, you don't have a marriage without it, okay? So in one sense, it means everything. But in another sense, it means very little compared to the life that you're going to live with the person that you marry. And that's the same way we need to look at sanctification. I mean, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's just the beginning of your relationship. You did not get saved simply because, well, you did simply get saved because you were lost, but that's just the beginning.
Yeah.
That's just the start of the relationship. And for you to not develop that relationship would be like saying, well, I married my wife, but I've never spoken to her ever since. We live in the same house, but, you know, we don't love each other. There's no communication. There's no friendship. There's no fellowship. There's no communion. There's nothing. Well, that's absurd.
Yes.
The whole reason why you have the wedding day is so that you can begin that new life together. It's the same reason why we would be born of God, to start a life together with God. So for someone to say, I just want to be saved. I just don't want to go to hell. Okay, I understand that. But you would be missing out on the very life that God has ordained and purposed for you from eternity past by not stepping into this process of progressive sanctification.
I mean, I want to go right to the edge with that, and I want to, I don't want to be misunderstood. It's, are those people really even saved? Like, honestly, the psychological Christianity is I check the boxes in my own mind intellectually, but really, there is a fruit of salvation, which is hunger, following, learning. And again, we're not fruit police, but I have to ask myself this question, and it's not my business in one sense. It's not my focus. But are those people that think they're saved, are they really saved? That's really an answer to God. But a progressive sanctification, it's working out what God put in, which means I am now walking, acting, living, talking. You know, I think of another, and that's a great illustration about a marriage. I mean, that would be ridiculous. That would be ridiculous. It's like walking into a mansion, right? You walk into the foyer, and you own this massive property, and you're only there in like, you know, 3 to 6 square meters, and that's it. It's like that's like our Christian life doesn't have to be that small. Like Pastor Schaller preached a brilliant message Sunday on being cramped and being trapped. And Jonah was in that fish. And I think sometimes that can be our Christian life. We can, our parameters, our understanding of God can be very small. But God is saying, yield to me. Let me love you and present yourself. I don't know. And this is where the power and authority comes, right, Pastor Love? Like how many Christians, and myself included, all of us, we struggle with power and actually walking in the newness of life because it, you know, our faith is on our terms, and that is where, like you said, we have to let God be the Lord of our life. And I want to be careful how I say that too, because we want to yield to Him, we want to submit to Him, and we want to make Him first.
Yeah. And that the fact that you mentioned that about the Lord, which, you know, that moves into another realm of what people refer to as lordship salvation.
Yeah, have to be careful with that.
Exactly,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
Then now you have people that are saying, well, unless you are living that sanctified life, unless you are allowing Jesus to be the Lord of your life, then that's an indication, if that's not happening, that you're not truly born again. And we don't want to go there because
right.
Now we're sitting in a place of judging and evaluation and determining who is saved and who isn't, who belongs to God, who doesn't belong to God. Let's take comfort in the fact that the Lord knows them that are His.
Amen. Yes.
We don't have to be the
yes.
spiritual police, you
yes.
know, determining who is and who isn't. If somebody names the name of Christ, let them depart from iniquity. Let them begin to live that spirit-filled life. Let them learn what it means to abide in Christ. And if not, again, you know, we don't have to be the ones that makes that judgment. The Bible says, according to what Jesus said in John chapter 15, He said the world will do that. In other words, if someone claims to be of Christ, claims to be born of God, but they don't learn how to abide, and there's no fruit,
yes,
and then the branches that should bring forth fruit fall to the ground, well, then what happens? Men come and gather those dead branches together and throw them in the fire. Now, again, some have taken that passage to mean, okay, you can lose your salvation. That's not what it's teaching. The
yeah.
whole principle there is one of fruit bearing, But it's like the world will look at our lives and make an evaluation, saying, you said you were a Christian, but I don't see the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the evidence. So it really, the responsibility falls on the believer that if you're going to make that profession of faith, well, the world is waiting and watching to see if there's any evidence that follows that profession of faith.
So important. And I think in religious circles, it can be very damaging. And we have to be so careful. Like, oh, if that person was truly saved, they wouldn't have done X, Y, and Z, right? Well, we're all, unfortunately, one moment from X, Y, Z, but we're living in the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. Our sails are up. We're catching the north wind. We're walking in the Spirit. I want to read quickly 15:16 of Romans. I think this is a good verse, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And again, I think of Paul's ministry, and the ministry of the believer. It's like we are constantly being refined. We're constantly being conformed. We're constantly becoming more like Christ practically. And I think, don't be hard on it, right, Pastor Love? We could be hard on ourselves saying, oh, I keep failing in this area. Why am I still falling in this area? Or we can be hard on ourselves, like with some sort of standard, and we can say, "Nope, I'm going to keep raising my sail, and that wind is going to take me to a new place. Nope, I'm going to rebound with God. Nope, I'm just going to keep receiving grace. Nope, I'm not going to do anything else but just respond to God." And this is what happens: we are made trophies of grace from ashes, and I just think this is a critical subject because we can get discouraged. Like a lot of young people say, hey, you know, it's not worth it, or I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, this is too hard. That's the wrong side. That's what we're saying. We're doing, there's no ministry there, right?
Yeah.
But if we let and we present and we yield, then it's like, wow, we're flying on that boat. We're flying literally.
Yeah, your sails have caught the wind.
Right.
Yeah, and it's a process that is not difficult, not overwhelming, not burdensome. Mm. But, you know, like Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And that's not to be misinterpreted, as many have, as Jesus promising people an easy life. He just said, my yoke is easy. Because you go through life and you bear a yoke. And you can bear the yoke that this world presents to you. And that's a hard yoke.
Mm.
That's a yoke of iron. But the yoke that Jesus provides, that's easy. Because we're yoked up together with him. And obviously, he carries the greater share of that load.
Mm.
Well, friends, the phone lines are open. You can join us. Here are the numbers. Toll free in all of North America, 800-338-7060. And locally here in the Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. Our theme today in the Grace Hour is that of sanctification and the impact that it should have in the lives of God's children. You know, there's a beautiful verse in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Paul writes and says to the church at Colossae, he says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So ask yourself this question. How did you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? By faith. How then should you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? By faith. In other words, just keep mixing faith with what you hear. Just keep, you know, growing in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, there's so many portions of Scripture that we could mention today, but let me give you a few. We go from grace to grace in John chapter 1. We go from glory to glory in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We go from faith to faith in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. You can see that there is this ongoing forward progress, this movement that should be happening in the lives of believers.
Amazing. I'm just kind of processing that verse you just read. I think there's a disconnect that can happen, Pastor Love, like experiencing the amazing work of God in our life. And I think, again, it's what you just read, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So what does that mean? Like, okay, I eat a sandwich, and then all of a sudden enjoyed the sandwich, it's processed through the body, and it creates energy, okay? Where'd that energy come from? Well, it's the processing of that sandwich, let's say, and the way your body responds to it. It's the same way in our Christian life. Like, if I'm coming to church and responding to God and hearing the word, like we heard last night, oh, we're an overcomer, then we have spiritual content that translates to spiritual energy as we mix faith with it. But if I just go to church, and I say this on purpose, like if I go to church once a month and I kind of live my life the way I'm going to live, then I'm going to look, sound, and experience what I feed my soul. And I think this is why there's such a turmoil in Christianity today, so many people walking away from the faith. Number one, is it the true gospel? That's the core point. But number two, what's my response to God? Do I value this walking with God? So let's say someone's addicted and they struggle and they keep failing and falling, and it's like, okay, you know, how is there going to be victory? Well, we keep feeding the new man. And again, the power of God rewires our appetites, our thinking, our decisions. And I got to say, we have before us life and death, and it's like we choose life or death, and the consequences are what they are. But God is there. He's like that sandwich. Maybe I don't minimize him like that, but what we're feeding on is the energy and power that we're living in. Yeah. A lot of illustrations today. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's great.
I must have slept pretty good last night.
Amen. It's great. And think about it this way. You know, you're born of God. You have the genetics of God in your life.
Excellent.
So
yeah.
It's not a question of me thinking this way. Okay, now that I'm a Christian, I need to do A, B, C, D, E, you know, go right down. No, I'm born of God. It's kind of like, you know, you're born naturally, and guess what? You reflect the image of your parents. Like begats like. So God is holy. We are begotten of God. We are holy. God is gracious. We are begotten of God. We learn to be gracious. God is merciful. We are begotten of God. We are merciful people. I mean, it's in our genetics.
That's awesome.
It's just the life of God that flows from us, which helps to answer this question. Does a believer have to work for their salvation, or rather their sanctification, or is it an act of God in his heart? Well, it's an act of God. Mm. The same God who saved you is the same God whose grace is available to sanctify you and to teach you to deny ungodliness, worldly lusts, and to live righteously and soberly in this present evil world. A beautiful illustration of this, in my mind, is found in John's Gospel, chapter 19, which describes that, you know, Christ is before Pilate. Pilate sends him to the Jews. The Jews send him back to Pilate. Pilate finally says, look, I don't find any fault in him. This is your business, he says to the Jewish people. You deal with him. They crucify him. But in verse 34 of John chapter 19, it says, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and out came blood and water. Now, why do I share that verse, and why is it significant? Because the blood that came from Jesus cleanses us, redeems us, and brings us into a right relationship with Christ. But notice this, the water also came. The water speaks of the sanctifying process in the life of the believer. In other words, the blood, that's provided by Christ to save us. The water, that too comes from Christ to wash us, to cleanse us, and to lead a life of sanctification before God. And if you forget the fact that both come from Christ, then you might at some point assume the responsibility that your sanctification belongs to you, and you've got to take care of that part of it. But they both come from Christ.
Amen. Wow, that's awesome. I don't think I've ever heard that before. That's really fresh. I mean, think about it. We come to church and we get our feet washed, right? You know, figuratively speaking, and because there's dirt, there's things we've collected, there's lies that maybe we've embraced. But maybe another verse to complement what you just said is 2 Peter 1:4, right? Again, another good verse, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, over 8,000 promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the consequence of this is having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So it's like this. It's like my response to this overwhelming, beautiful initiation is like, this is our life. We're not trying to make it happen. We're not trying to, create our own spirituality. And this is, isn't it, when you have conversations with people, it's like, you know, the breathing maybe changes and there's sigh, there's like this weight that all of a sudden it's like they're the spirit of heaviness. It's like, what is going on? It's like, wait a minute, let's stop. I don't pray enough. I don't do enough. I don't read enough. I'm such a sinner. It's like, okay, right? I mean, I don't want to minimize that, but that's not, I mean, the gospel is the promises. It's what you just read. It's like, it's this beautiful washing of the water. I think of John 15:3, you're cleansed through the water of the word. John 17:17, you're sanctified to truth and in truth. And Ephesians 5:26, in a marriage, I love that illustration about marriage. It's like you're washing your wife. You're sanctifying her. You're looking at her without spot, without blemish. I guess maybe to kind of say Captain Obvious here is like we must look at Christ before we look at ourselves. Otherwise, we'll get it backwards. We're going to be legalistic. We're going to be hard on ourselves, and we're going to be hard on people. We're going to put pressure on people. It's just backwards. Yeah.
And of course, one of the favorite words of the natural man is work. And our friends, the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, their favorite verse is Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 13, work out, work, work. They quote that verse almost every time I speak to Jehovah's Witnesses.
Wow.
Why? Because they say, you got to work for this. This is something that you have to work for. But we know that salvation is a gift from God. Hmm. It's the gift of righteousness. It's eternal life. And you don't earn it. You don't merit it. You couldn't ever, ever even begin to imagine deserving it. It comes to us by grace. And I think the book of Ephesians is so critical in understanding this whole process of progressive sanctification because, Watchman Nee wrote the popular book, you know, Sit, Walk, Stand.
Yes.
How does it begin? You got to sit. Mm. It starts out, and our lives start out, by God taking us and placing us in Christ, and we are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That's your position. You know, the best way to experience progressive sanctification in our lives is to keep your eyes on your position.
Amen.
The more and the deeper your understanding of who you are in Christ, the more effective your life is going to be here on planet Earth. In other words, you want your Christian walk to be effective, fruitful, productive, something that people stand up and take notice of? Then understand your position in Christ. And then, when it's all said and done, you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yeah, I think that's a huge point. I think that is so important to, I think there's like 40 positional truths in the first three chapters of Ephesians, if not the first chapter, maybe. I think it's the first three chapters of Ephesians. Who has Christ made us to be? This is a question that not who I am now based on my condition or my disposition, but what is my position? I think we have to, I don't know, bang ourselves in the head, if we could say that, drill it down, like, who does Christ say that I am? And then when I know that, then I know who I am. I no longer have an identity crisis. Recently talking with a young person, and and just this challenge of gender euphoria and just this incredibly destructive thought process of what an identity crisis can do. And am I a female or am I a male? And what is that? It's like, that's the symptom of someone not knowing their position. Like we are saints, we are believers, we are made righteous, we're peculiar, we're a chosen generation. I mean, there's many. We are God's son, we're God's daughter. We are perfect in him. We are loved. These are all things that are produced by God, and the action is the action of God. And if we could say we believe in it, yes, John 6, 28 and 29, but we also respond. I think response is a big thing. What can we say about response, Pastor Love? The silent treatment, that's not good, right? We give somebody something and you just kind of stand there. Like, my response is out of an abundance of love, right? We could say.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of like somebody coming and surprising you with a gift.
Yeah.
What's your response? Thank you. I'm so undeserving. Why are you doing this? I mean, we're just overwhelmed by the gift from the giver. But we're so blessed by it.
Mm.
And our hearts are filled with gratitude and thanksgiving.
Mm.
Yeah, rightly so. We still have about 10 minutes left in the broadcast, friends. That's plenty of time for you to get to a phone and give us a call here at the Grace Hour. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number anywhere in North America. And here in the greater Baltimore area, you could join us at 410-483-3700. Our good friend Dietmar has written to us, says, it's the grace of God that brings salvation. And that's appeared to all men. Then it teaches us, believers, to reject ungodliness and worldly desires and to live godly lives with a purpose that reflects spiritual maturity. How true that is. And Ged Velaitis has written to us, as Pastor Schiavelli once said, that grace is the only thing that allows us to obey God. It's the foundation for sanctification. And knowing that foundation and knowing and understanding our depravity without God, and then having this hunger and this desire to get to know him and to get to know his grace. Mm-hmm. How true that is. I mean, you could almost say, Pastor Jason, that, you know, the more you reflect upon the grace of God, the greater desire you have to want to walk worthy of this vocation wherewith you've been called, but also at the same time acknowledging that there's nothing in you that provides a constitution to walk worthy. You still have to receive that from God.
Yes.
The same strength, the same love, the same divine energy, the same willingness to do God's will. All of that has to come from, you know, that wind, if you will. We're going to put up our sails. God's got to provide the wind so that we can get moving.
Absolutely. I think of a reflector, right? You see those reflectors on a dark night? And it's the light that makes that reflector come alive. And what is that reflector? Sure, it's plastic prisms maybe, but they're angled so that they can receive the light and reflect the light. I think, again, that's our light. We're just a bunch of reflectors that magnify that light, that project the light, and we're vessels of mercy. And again, I think one thing, Pastor Love, that's been, I don't know, just fresh in my mind is that so many look within to find the good. And this is where we get frustrated, and maybe people might say, hey, the gospel doesn't work. The Bible's doesn't. Why? Because they're looking at themselves to produce the action, when actually we look up and we're overwhelmed by the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, that leads us to conversion, that leads us to transformation, leads us into energy and the 8:11 of Romans, that same spirit, that resurrection spirit can be our spirit. And then it's all about God's goodness. And then all of a sudden the goodness of God changes my pitiful, limited goodness that is so conditional and so tolerant. And God is like saying, hey, listen, just be the reflector. Just be the sail. Let me let me do the heavy lifting, if we could say, and you're going to experience the life of Christ because we're out of the way. I think that's another huge thing. Like, we're out of the way. We're, like you said, we're yielding, letting, and presenting. I think that's revolutionary, those three words.
Yeah. And as you said, the goodness of God. Another way of saying it is that we could talk about the love of God. It's the love of Christ that constrains us, motivates us to live a life of godliness, because we've made this evaluation. If one died for all, then we're all dead. But they which now live, live unto God. And we live our lives unto God because we are lively stones, having been quarried out of the pit of sin, cemented into the temple of God, the building of God. And as a result, now God has become he's found his habitation here in the body of Christ. Mm. And we just manifest that life.
Yes.
It's not something that, again, go back to that point where we say, okay, now that I'm a Christian, now I have to live this way, do this, do that. No, that's very mechanical.
Yes.
When life is within you, life comes out of you.
Yes.
God's life. And he's given us that life. And it's manifested through our humanity.
Was that 1 John 5, right?
He
that has the Son has life. He that doesn't have the Son doesn't have life.
Let's take a call. Let's go to Mexico City, Mexico. Pastor Bruce Moon is joining us live in the Grace Hour. Pastor Moon, welcome.
Thank you very much. Just a brief comment on Philippians 2:12-13, because first of all, that the way that JWs and others use that is a problem of context, because they don't read the whole verse. That's the danger of just reading a verse as if you know, chop up the Bible in little confetti pieces and it makes sense that way. It doesn't. You have to read the whole context, because he says in 13, it's him that works in us.
That's right.
To desire his will and to be able to perform it or to do it. Nevertheless, going back though to 12, that's true also, that what he's put in us, like you were talking about the genetic code, you know, that's Hebrews 10, Hebrews 8, that the Holy Spirit has been written the law in our heart. That's the genetic code of God in us, and salvation is in us, but we do have to choose to manifest it, and it says there, very important, with fear and trembling, because if, you know, we receive such an incredible gift, it's just normal and natural that we would, by just thankfulness, work it out. We would be thankful, and so we would fear not obeying him. We would fear not working out, let's say, loving people. I would fear not forgiving somebody that did an offense against me, because he forgave me of $10 million. How am I not going to forgive him, forgive the other guy of $10? I'd have to be out of my mind to do
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's almost as if God will never ask us to do anything that he hasn't already done for us.
Wow.
And it's in us.
Wow. It's in us.
It's not like I have to love people. God is love, and he's in me.
There
and
you go.
I am love. We are love.
That's it. That's it. It's kind of like, you know, people would say, well, you know, God says, be ye holy, just as I am holy. Well, the fact is, because God's holy and we're born of God, we're holy.
Amen. Amen. I love
it's
that.
Natural. It's natural to love people.
There you go.
But really forgive them. It's natural.
Amen. Pastor, thanks. Great thoughts.
Okay. You bet.
God bless you. Let's go to Lauren next up in New York State. Lauren, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Love. How are you?
Great.
Okay, I'm going to share with you something that I saw. Well, I guess this was about 45 years ago or so. I was driving back to New York with somebody. We were visiting up there at Lenox, up there at what was known as Bible Speaks in those days. And there was this night. It was a cloudless night. There was a full moon. And there was a lot of snow on the mountains. I'll never forget how that moon, it didn't actually produce the light that made that such a beautiful sight, but that was a reflection.
Exactly.
I'll never forget that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's us. I mean, we don't have any light of our own, right? If we were going to liken ourselves to, you know, a sphere in the atmosphere, it would have to be the moon.
Sure.
Because the moon is just, you know, it's just a dark, lifeless sphere. But when it's properly connected to the sun and it's in its right setting and its proper location, it beautifully reflects the sun. We get a chance in our lives as we cooperate with God and let and present and yield, we get a chance to reveal the glory of the sun through our lives.
Mm-hmm. You know it.
Okay. Lauren, thank you. We've got to close the broadcast, but great to hear from you.
The King and be a blessing.
Thank you so much. And thank you, friends. Pastor Jason, thanks so much.
We have God's genetics. I'm going to think about that all day.
Absolutely.
I love that. That is so fresh. God's genetics.
We don't even have to close the program by saying, hey, don't forget to be holy. No, just remind yourself you're God's son. Holiness will come forth from your life.
Amen.
It's in you.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you, friends, until tomorrow at the same time.